Back to HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here. Well, pancreatic cancer may soon be the second deadliest cancer in the United States. So says a recent report from the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. And here with me this morning to shed some light on the rise in the incidence of pancreatic cancer is Dr. Dilip Kathur, professor of surgery, microbiology, and immunology at Upstate Medical University, and the division chief of hepatobiliary and pancreatic surgery. Welcome, Dr. Kathur. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
So currently I read somewhere that it's pancreatic cancer is like the ninth most commonly diagnosed cancer in the United States, and that it causes about 35,000 deaths each year. But it's growing now. They're suggesting that it's going to be the second deadliest cancer. Why is this happening, or how do you see this happening?
It's not entirely clear, but you know, there seem to be a lot of environmental factors playing into this increased incidence. People talk about how our diet affects pancreatic cancer.
What elements do you think in the diet? Are you thinking of things like insecticides, those kinds of things?
Well, those will certainly play a role, but the more common thing people are talking about is essentially the wholeness of the food is sort of changed in that, you know, we eat more processed food, and that seems to be a big factor in this rise in pancreatic cancer. So,
and what do they have any ideas to what the methodology or the reason that processing of food would?
Well, I mean, it's
preservatives.
It's thought to be preservatives. It could be, some of the oils that are used. Sugar seems to be one of the things that people are implicated in pancreatic cancer.
So, in other words, all this high fructose corn syrup that's been added to so many products.
Right. Yeah, I think that's one of the main things that's causing the rise, in my opinion. But, you know, again, it's not very clear as to, you know, what it is.
So at this time, it's somewhat speculative as to what causes it. But are there research studies now underway to try to understand it?
Yeah, I think the there are some studies with sugars, for example, that have been done in Europe and other places, which have shown that taking a lot of fizzy drinks with high fructose seems to be clearly associated with an increased risk. We know that smoking is definitely associated with pancreatic cancer. Although the incidence of smoking is going down in the United States, so that is good, but we should try and make it as less as possible so that people can, avoid the risk.
So why is it so deadly? I think that's the question everyone asks. I mean, in my own personal life, I have known three people in the last 5 years who have contracted pancreatic cancer and died within a year or two at the most. Why is it so deadly?
Well, first of all, it's very difficult to diagnose. The pancreas sits way back, right almost on the spine. And so it's very difficult to figure out whether somebody has pancreatic cancer. So by the time it's diagnosed,
There are symptoms, you mean? People feel pain or something?
By the time they actually find out that you have pancreatic cancer, a lot of times it's spread. And so, the statistics are really very, very dismal. I mean, only about 5% or so of pancreatic cancer diagnosed patients will live for 5 years. And that has not really changed over the last 20, 30 years.
I understand that at one time, even the surgical interventions were potentially, there was a high mortality around them, things like certain procedures that were done to try to excise the cancer or take out parts of the pancreas. That seems to have improved, I think, in terms of the morbidity and mortality associated with the surgery.
Yes, that is definitely true. The pancreatic cancer excision, pancreatic cancer happens mostly in the head of the pancreas, which is a pretty high real estate because there's a lot of big blood vessels that go right next to it. The pancreas itself is very hard to handle in terms of surgical removal and joining part of it. And so the mortality used to be very, very high with what's called as a Whipple procedure. that mortality with the people has gone down. Like, for example, here, we, you know, and most other places, we quote below 5% mortality. So 95% people who can actually have a Whipple procedure or have a pancreatic cancer operation will survive. But that, you know, really is the only thing that we can do for pancreatic cancers, because if you cannot take it out, then the chemotherapy seems to help a little bit, but not really much at all.
But even if it's removed, it sounds to me like, even with the current state of the chemotherapy that would must follow, it's not sufficient usually because it's spread often.
It is removed only when it is not spread, and so, or at least, you know, at least there's no macroscopic or obvious evidence of spread.
So you wouldn't even take a patient for a Whipple procedure if there were any signs of metastases.
That is correct. Yeah, because it's such a it's a big procedure and it's difficult on the patients, and so unless there's a sort of chance for a cure, there's no really sense in doing that procedure.
In preparing for this interview, I read somewhere that there are some places that have begun to try to visualize the pancreas, I guess, endoscopically or something earlier on. I don't know why somebody would think to do that if there were no signs or symptoms of a problem, but that led some with, I guess it suggested some hope of earlier diagnosis.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that are being done for earlier diagnosis. I think the tumor markers in the blood, you know, that's a really important way to diagnose them. Unfortunately, unless there's a clear evidence, the insurance companies will not pay for it. And so, you know, it's sort of a catch-22. But, endoscopic ultrasound now is a very good tool in diagnosing and getting biopsies of pancreas, which we could not do 10 years ago, for example. And so, you know, that's becoming, that's helping to diagnose things a little bit earlier.
You mentioned that smoking was putting people at higher risk. What are some of the other risk factors besides, again, the diet, which everyone is eating, but smoking? What are some other risk factors?
Alcohol.
Alcohol consumption.
So if that causes pancreatitis, you know, that's definitely a risk factor. People that have diabetes seem to have a higher propensity to get pancreatic cancer. And there are some ethnic groups. There are certain genetics that play a role. There are people that have what's called as a familial pancreatitis. You know, they have a very high incidence of pancreatic cancer.
Are there any new breakthroughs coming through in terms of diagnosis or treatment at this point?
Unfortunately, not breakthroughs. I think we're sort of moving incrementally forward. You know, the operations are getting better, the diagnosis is improving somewhat, not as much as we would like, but there's some research showing that we should be able to get some of the biomarkers earlier. And
that's just through the blood?
Through the blood, yeah. So that may be something that we might look forward to in the future.
Do you ever imagine there would be a blood test someday routinely done as part of your general screening, perhaps every 5 years or every 3 years, much like you do, you know, a colonoscopy, that could pick it up?
Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, yeah. I think, you know, we do that for prostate cancer. You
right.
know, we have PSA tests.
Although that's a little controversial.
Yeah, it's controversial. But, I mean, something like that would be really nice.
It really would. And with all the new breakthroughs in genetically and potential for genetically engineered tissue, do you ever foresee the possibility of a genetically engineered pancreas?
I think it's, definitely. It's definitely a possibility.
Well, once again, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I'm hoping that we will have some more breakthroughs in this area. Thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Dilip Couture, Professor of Surgery, Microbiology, and Immunology at Upstate Medical University and the Division Chief of Hepatobiliary and Pancreatic Surgery. Stay with us. We'll be back after the news. I'm Linda Cohen. This is FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYO.